One more time. Perek Samach Vav Pasuk Tezayin Ki Va'esh Hashem Mishpat Hashem will judge through fire. Hashem will judge the world through fire. Uvicharbo Eskol Basar. And with his sword, Hashem will judge. We're just going back on the expression of Hashem will judge. V'rabu chalalei Hashem. And many people will be slain at this time. This time, referring to the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to rebuke all of the enemies of Hashem. Either refers to the Umos Olam, to the Muhammad Tzchak Gumagog, or refers to the Jewish people, those that are... As we discussed the last 2 days, this concept of Beirurim, where Hashem will separate the Jews who are faithful from the Jews that are unfaithful, that have caused problems and who have invented a new religion in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and which are called your brothers who hate you, Minadecha, and all those very scary expressions. So he refers either to one or the other. One or the other. Let's go over here. The Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Tezayin Kiv Eshel Gehenim. Okay, Rashi here, Kedarka, is very mystical. Of Gehenim Hashem Nishpat Im Tzarev with his enemies. V'lufishu Baal Din. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the judge. With Dayan. Neifel Boi Loshon Nishpat. Sha'afu Toyin Ta'anoisav. Limsoy Avon. Hashem will present arguments to find Avon. Limsoy avoinam their sins upisham v'chein v'nishpati oisav yicheskel hini nishpat oisach. The pesukim we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu will argue. Nishpat means there will be a court case. Who will be the judge? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the prosecutor, and I guess the Umos HaOlam will defend themselves. Who will be the judges? I don't know. So all these different in midrashim I once heard a Jewish that a person comes with Shemayim, Machameh, Ve'esrim, so he gives a din v'cheshbin. Who is the judge? Who's going to sit in judgment over us? Achar. So, okay, that's Hashem. But others say, no, it's the Gedolim, it's the great people from that generation. In other words, we're not held to the standards of the previous generation. Right? People, a person today... We're very different than people who lived 1,000 years ago. Is it proper for us to be held to the high standards of people who lived 1,000 years ago? No. We're not on that level. Can the people who lived 1,000 years ago, can they really relate to us? People who lived even 50 years ago can't relate to us the way we live today. Who can relate to us? The people, our people of our generation. People, okay, we assume it's the Rabbanim, Tzadikim, Gedolim, people who are, Hashem knows who is righteous, and who can relate to the people of this generation. They will serve in judgment over us. Now, Hashem, of course, is serving in judgment, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing the people of the generation to find... To defend us, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people live in this generation, they firsthand know our nisyonos, and they can go easy on us, yeah?
Which are they? Are they dayanim or are they defenders?
I don't know.
I don't know.
What? Yes. Of course, absolutely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem created the world and whatever He wants. Yeah, 100%, 100%. So, maybe if we refer, I don't have a source. I just remember. Well, you have the famous idea in Nasan Hanavi and David HaMelech, where a person really is judging himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person does an avera, chas v'shalom, and then later in his life, he is the victim of the crime that he himself committed. And he doesn't realize this. The same type of sin that he has committed against others, he one day becomes the victim from someone else. And the question then is, how does he deal with it as a victim? And if he goes hard on the person that committed the crime, to a certain degree he's judging himself. That just like this is what you've done to someone else, this is what you're really issuing a verdict upon yourself. Nasan when he took the wife of Uriah HaChiti, and then Nasan Navi comes and gives this whole long elaborate mashal with the sheep and this and that, and then David, and he asks David to decide the halacha, and David goes hard, he's very machmir, and then Nasan Navi says, Ato ho'ish, you are the person in the mashal, and you have just declared, you have just issued your own verdict. Okay, so there is such thing over here, but over here, Kadosh Baruch Hu over here, it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the judge, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to be the judge. Doesn't say Hashem is the judge. It says over here, Hashem Shafu Toyin Ta'inayis, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to present arguments, which appears to be more that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to present here as the prosecutor. And then Rashi concludes at the end, Lefib Upshutai Kib Eish Hashem, Uvechabu Nishpat Kol Basar, that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself will punish, Vechain Rabim Misurasim Bimikros, there are many that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself will use his sword and fire to bring churban upon the world to the enemies of Hashem. Okay, let's leave it with that. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hamiskadishim v'hamitahar v'hamitaharim el haganois achar achas batovech. Those that sanctify themselves and purify themselves to the gardens, in the gardens, one after the other, batovech means in the center. One after the other, let me just translate the words, then we'll say what this means. It's a very difficult pasuk. One after the other in the center. Oichle besar hachazir, they eat the meat of a pig, the hasheketz, things that are disgusting. The achbar, weasels, yachtov, Yasufu, together these two groups will perish. Nu'um Hashem. Now, what does this mean? So, let's read the mitzudos first. Hamiskadishim, hamiskadishim, hamizdamnim yachad, and hamiskadishim means they designate themselves. They dedicate themselves yachad, together. Umitaharim atzmam, and they purify themselves, leleches, to go el ho'akum, to idols, ho'imdois baganois, in the gardens. Achar achas batovech, what does that mean? Sia achar sia, one group following another. Achar shagamra horishayna, after the first group finishes, there's not enough space in the garden to worship this idol, so they have to go in shifts. After the first shift leaves, as achar shagamra horishayna, as avodosav nichneses hashni, the second shift, beemsa hagin, in the center, tovech, into the center, mekoy mamar ha'akam, the place where the idol was positioned, oichle b'nei yishol, oichle b'nei yishol, oichle, the Jewish, Osir, the first Jews, according to this, who eat besar hachazir yachdav kulam, all these people yachad yitmu min oilam, will perish from the world. According to the mitzudos, and that, as Rav Schwab explains, we're referring here to la'asilavo, and we do not know at all what this pasuk refers to. There will be groups of people that will worship some strange type of idol, and this idol will appear within a garden. And the whole world will be swept after this idol. And they will enter, there will not be enough space to worship the idol in one shot, so they will come in groups and shifts. And part of the process of worshiping this idol is a purification process, a double purification process, where they sanctify themselves, and then they purify themselves. Again, we do not know what this means, because in the past, if we look back into past history, and we look at different forms of idolatry, we're not really that familiar with idolatry. That's what we didn't have in the beginning of Yeshaya. They worship gardens, they worship vegetation, things that grew in the garden, or maybe they put the idols in the garden, but it's not, the details presented here do not appear to have a precedent in Tanakh, where there is a requirement in this form of service to first sanctify yourself and purify yourself. Most forms of idolatry do not require sanctification and purification, at least not that we are familiar with. But here they will be these people that will do these two steps, and they'll go to the garden, and they will also eat besar chazir, and they'll eat shkotzim, and achbar, different types of weasels, and Hashem says all of these wicked people will perish, period. Now, there are other midrashim, other interpretations. I saw in the Rabbeinu Bachya, in the Sefer B'Shem Omro, he says that the Hamiskadishim, is what he says, refers to the Christians, and the Hamitahari refer to the Muslims. When it says here, the Oichle Besar HaChazir, that refers to the Christians, they eat pig, and the Sheketz V'Ha'achbar, he says it was known, that was their form of food, they ate, the Muslims ate Shkotzim and Achbarim, maybe the Muslims of his time, okay, you're going back over 1,000 years, Rabbeinu Bachya, one of the Rishonim, so you're going back about 900 years, approximately, something like that, maybe even more, and he says that the Muslims of those times, this they don't eat Chazir. you're not allowed. A Muslim, according to their religion, not allowed, but they would eat shekets and achbar. And now when it says yachtav, it's not referring to, see, we learned it, shot in the pasuk yachtav means all of the evildoers. Everyone. There's a large group of these people. They come in groups, one after another. He's saying, no, there are two separate groups. There's the group of idolaters called the Christians. There's a group called the Muslims. The Christians are called the Hamiskadishim. They make themselves holy. They do things, he says, with their hands, right? They move, they do shesi the erif. Before they worship their idol, they so to speak, I'm not familiar with all of the...
They wash their feet, for example.
The Muslims, who wash their feet?
The Muslims.
So that's the Vahamitaharim. Tahara usually refers to water, going into mikvah, purification with water. Miskadashim means they some type of sanctification, which he says with their hands.
Crossing themselves.
Before they actually serve their idol, their Avodah Zarah, Yeshu, they first sanctify themselves with their hands. The Muslims, before they do their service, they wash their feet. That they mean taharim. The food of the Christians is pig. The food of the Muslims, and at least in ancient times, you have to Google this and do research if this is indeed true, he says, was to eat shkatzim and achbarim. That was their type of food. And when it's then in the middle of the pasuk, this is fasting, achar achas batovich. What does that mean? Yachta means together, both of these groups, the Christians and the Muslims, Yosufu, Yachta of Yosufu, together will perish. When Mashiach comes, the Geula comes, and it's clear to the world that Klal Yisrael are the Am HaNefchar, these two forms of religion will cease to exist. Yachta of Yosufu, together will Yosuf. Will come to an end, will perish. And this is the most fascinating part of Rabbeinu Bachya's interpretation, when it says in the middle of the pasuk, achar achat, which we translate, we change the krivah siv achar achas, we rechange it from Lashon Zoch to Lashon Nekeva, achas, batovech. So we learned that means one group after another. There's some type of idol in the garden. They all enter into the garden. He says it means there's one a day on one side and a day on the other side, and they put us in the center. Meaning, what's the day of worship for the Muslims? Friday. What's the day of worship for the Christians? Sunday. And where do we stand? The true in the middle. So that's what it means here. Achar achas batovech. After one, which achar means, everyone agrees, achar achas means one and one. Achar means the day after. The Christians is achar. Achar means the day after Shabbos. After this, you have to read the words out of order. Batovach means the center. Klal Yisrael is in the center. Shabbos Kodesh. The Christians, which are the Hamiskadishim, and which are the Besar Chazir, they come Achar. They are Sunday. Achas is... Then Achas is... Is okay. Achas is one day.
The first out of 3 days.
Friday. That is the Muslims. Batovech putting us in the center. So he's reading into this pasuk. This is what the Rebbe Nebachya 1,000 years ago is reading into the pasuk, that when the Mashiach will come, the end of these two religions will cease to exist. And you have to understand that he in his lifetime, really, the Crusades. The first Crusade was the fight between the whole world was in war. It wasn't a world war between communism and capitalism, democracy. It was a world war between the Christian way of belief and the Muslim faith. And who got caught in the middle of the crossfire? Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, they were not major players. They were just on the side. But Rahman al Islam, they were caught in the center. Yeah.
Ben Machiah as a parish on Chumash.
Yeah.
Where is this found?
I think in Parish Pinchas, it's not found obviously here. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's Parish Pinchas. I believe that I'll try to get you the exact source. I have a very popular set called B'Shem Omri. He has an entire Chumash and an entire Tanakh. And basically, it's it's snippets. It's a likut. A very not like the old these new likutim where they rewrite it and they elaborate. He quotes like I think mila b'mila.
Sources.
What? Yes, it gives you the exact source. A lot of the things are very esoteric. It's very hard for me to prepare because on one pasuk you have a whole page, you have two pages, and 99%. I don't understand. It's like Zohars and these very esoteric things, even things that I do understand, they're not appropriate to say over in the shir. What? But if you really spend the time, going through this, his parish, you always extract a gem. And this is clearly, this is a real gem. This whole interpretation, how he takes this whole pasuk, there are three sections, Hamiskadish and Hamitaharim, and there's Achar Achas Batavech, Oichle Besar Hachazir V'Asheret Achbar, and then the end of the pasuk makes perfect sense. Yachdov, the two groups will do themselves in together. Yasufu nu'um Hashem. But the simple interpretation, Rav Schwab really brings it out very well. If you read Rav Schwab, he makes it very clear that he right away says we were dealing here with an idol that we do not know what it is referring to. Yimos HaMashiach, there's going to be some strange type of religion which perhaps can be interpreted symbolically, maybe the worship of technology, and it's going to be a garden, and in the garden there are going to be groups, one after another, and before they come to worship this idol, they're going to sanctify themselves and purify themselves, and they're going to have a meal of chazer and sheketz and achbar, and then they will perish. What is this? Who knows what this is? Again, this last parak is coming, climaxing. It's very difficult to understand what this means. Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily imply that they're working together.
It's like one group. According to Rav Schwab, he makes nothing about two groups. According to Rav Schwab, and according to the Mitzudos, and according to Rashi, there's only one group. There's no two different. There's no two religions. Rabbeinu Bachi has a whole different interpretation. There's one religion, one form of idolatry, which is pronounced at this point in time, and it's all discussing. Rabbeinu Bachi says, no. Look at the pasuk carefully. There are two different forms of religion which are at odds with each other. Two different forms, but that's not the pasuk shot. The Pashup Shad is one religion, and before you worship the idol, you do two things. You sanctify yourselves in Yimitar. What does that mean? We know about Avodah Zarah. We have a million Midrashim, and the Tanakh, it's over. There's the Baal. Do you ever find by the Baal that someone's being Makadish themselves, being Mitar themselves by Avodah Zarah, the Baal, by Baal Par and Marcolis? You learn Masech Avodah Zarah, Dafyom. You learn all the. You don't find such a concept of sanctification before coming to worship in the church and all these different things. What's it all about? So the answer is we don't know, because this has not yet happened. And at least not the way we at least on a simple level. Maybe it's symbolic, it's, I don't know, some form of technology. It's very vague. But that's this. We're dealing here with a time past the Beiruim. We're dealing, Yemos HaMashiach, it's the Mashiach, these things, it's very hard to understand because they have not really happened, at least not in the literal sense, yet.
You interpret this as a baptism?
Maybe, I don't know, could be. You want to say it's baptism that before they I don't know the ritual. You have to know all you just go into a
universal, whereas with Mahbubs,
it's universal. But what's amazing is that each Mefarish puts things in terms of his own life experience.
Yeah.
You know, Rabbi Schwab, in his life experience.
Schwab, it's very clear. Schwab had he went through every Mefarish. He quotes them all over, and then after he quotes them all over, he says 21st century interpretations. Like, but his knowledge. You read his book. It's just. It's a son. These were tapes. He said he taught Sefer Yeshaya over a 2-year period on a Sunday morning. He gave shiurim on Sunday morning in Sefer Yeshaya over 2 years. All the shiurim were recorded, came out every shiur. There were a few missing sections. And then it took his son 5 years to transcribe and to rewrite, put it into a book form. It's a massive 700 pages sefer on his shiurim of Sefer Yeshayah. They just came out now with Ezra Nehemiah only a few weeks ago. I didn't read the introduction, how long it took to put that together, but they just published Ezra and Nehemiah, and they also published from him Sefer Iyov. He taught the entire Tanakh in his shul, except for there were two svarim which he did not teach. And okay, and they have tefillah, they have a lot of things from him, are very original. It's a very creative mind, Rav Schwab. Okay, let's go further. V'yonchi ma'asim Hashem, says V'yonchi I. What's going to be here at this point in time? V'yonchi I ma'asim u'machshosim bo. Their deeds and their thoughts have come before me. Hashem says, I know what they're thinking, I know what they're doing. L'kabetz es kol hagoyim, in order to gather all of the nations, the halashanois and the languages, two different expressions. This, again, these are things, end of days, it's not clear what is the difference between nations and languages. Uvahu, they will come, v'rohu es kivodi, they will come and they will see my honor. Now, what exactly does this mean? So let's look at the mitzvahs very quickly. V'anochi ma'asem u'machshavaseyem ratzolema v'anochi im ma'asem machshavaseyem kolemar hein yodati. I know their deeds and their thoughts. Ki ilu nimtseisi, as if I am among them. You know, it's not often that Hashem says, I know your thoughts. We know that. That's one of the animams. And there's much discussion where the Rambam, the Makor, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiyetzer Machshavos, what's the pasuk? Lo Yadin Ruchi Ba'adam Kiyetzer Machshavos Liboy Rak Kol Hayom. So that pasuk is clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows man's thoughts. But there are other interpretations. The Rambam says, the Rambam in the Yud Gimel Ikar mentions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows everyone's thoughts. And here is one of the very interesting examples in Sefer Yeshayah, where in Nevi'im it's clear that Hashem knows a person's thoughts. And we take this for granted. But where is it in the text? V'nochi Hashem s'maseh machshosem bo'o has come before me, and therefore, okay, therefore, that's the difficult part of this pasuk. That's the next expression in the mitzvot. Bo, ratzolaymar lochein. Therefore, since I know their deeds, their evil deeds, and I know their evil thoughts, ratzolaymar lochein. Therefore, bo ho'eis. The time has come. Lekabetz eskol ho'akum. I'm reading from the mitzvot. V'halashanes kolaymar ani asavev. I will bring it about. Sheyavohu kol ho'akum im goig u'magoig. They will all come together with the nations of Goig u'Magoig, l'man yiru es kvaydi she'eschabed bohem. I will get honor through them. Ba'asoyz bohem nakam, when I pour out my vengeance. V'akiru shehevel nitlu, and it will be clear that all of these people who have worshipped this idol, referring to the Rabbeinu Bachya, the Rabbeinu Bachya referring to the Christians and the Muslims, it's hevel. Futility. What they have done, their form of worship is lies, all built on massive lies, and they will see my honor. What is the honor they will see? So it doesn't mean they're going to be, it means they're going to be punished, they're going to be destroyed, and through their destruction will become clear the falsehood of their form of service. Pasuk Yitzhak, V'samti v'chem ois, I will send among them a sign. V'shilachti mehem pleitim, but they will be survivors. This is very interesting. Again, these are very mystical psukim, end of Yeshayah, climaxing in the ultimate degree of mysticism. And I will send from them survivors, pleitim, those who escape. El hagoyim, where will they go? These survivors will travel to all the various countries. These are a whole long list of names. Tarshish, Paul, Tarshish, we had a discussion. What is Tarshish? Tarshish was a sister city for Tsar. Remember that? We had Tsar, and Tsar, so we wanted to live, it was all the way down the other end of the Mediterranean, all the way towards the very end, near the Atlantic, all the way down. That's what we wanted to say before. Tarshish and Pul. I don't know who these cities are. Tarshish, Pul, Velud, Moshe Keshes. Moshe Keshes is also a name of a city. as name of a country. No, sorry. The Metzudah learns Moshe Keshes Hamulamadim Liroy Schitzim Bekeshes that Lod is a country which are experts in archery. Tuval V'Yavon, you know, they have today. I was preparing for Tisha B'Av, so I watched a documentary on the Crusades. Because, you know, you have to really know the background. There are four keynotes on the Crusades. And if you don't know the background to the Crusades, it's really rough. It's rough going. So I read books. I didn't really read any books in great detail, different chapters here and there. But, you know, I went online a little bit. I found a documentary on the Crusades. A fascinating documentary. And there are mysteries about certain battles between the Christians and the Muslims where one of them was able to shoot arrows into the enemy forces against their enemies in a way that has been a mystery for almost 1,000 years. No one knows how they were able to shoot arrows at such a great distance with such great force, because all of the bows and arrows that we have today and that we have records from the past don't match the distance and the force and ferocity that one was able to throw into the other. And then part of this documentary, they showed that they discovered in these manuscripts, they discovered in different chronicles and writings and records, the answer. And the answer was that when they shot the arrows, you have to really see how they demonstrate, they basically lied down on their back and put their feet, they used their feet and their back and their arms in a very unique way, which was able to give the arrow an enormous amount of force. And we would otherwise never have imagined such an idea, if not for the fact that this document was discovered, where it described in detail the technique. So we talk about this idea, Moshe Keshes. It's a very innocent statement. Okay, they're good archers. Talk about different, every country in this world, they have a specialty in a certain type of military power, whether it's in the Navy, whether it's in the Air Force, that the Israelis are supposed to be the best, right? So they always brag on all the blogs that the Air Force of, there's no Air Force in the world that comes to the Air Force of Israel. Their pilots are one of a kind. There are other countries that are became submarines. Other countries have the best tanks and so on and so forth. It says an innocent statement, Moshe Keshes. But there's a lot of chokhmah. There's a lot of chokhmah that goes into this idea of Moshe Keshes. Okay, Tuval V'Yavon. Tuval is the name of a country. V'Yavon, Hu'im, Harichokim, these island cities, these island cities that are far away. Asheloi Shabu, Yishmiv, Leiros, Kavodi. These countries that are very far away in the world, they have not heard my name. V'Leiros, Kavodi, they have not seen my honor. V'Yigidu, Kavodi, Bagoyim, the survivors of these idolaters, according to the simple interpretation that have worshipped, that are worshipping this idol in the garden, or according to the Rabbeinu Bachya, the Christians and the Muslims, the survivors from the Milchemes Gog u'Magog of these two forms of Avodah Zarah worship, will travel to the ends of the world, to places that no one had, places that are not familiar with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and will reveal to them what has happened, and will reveal to them what has happened, and will relate and bring about a very great Kiddush Hashem. Let's see the Mitzvot and Pasuk. Let's see the Mitzvot and Pasuk. Yotes. V'samti bohem ois. Okay, b'chol ha'bohem osem ois v'zehu ma'asham ha'ein of Yotes. In this pasuk Zechariah, the next v'shilachti l'mehem pleitim ki rubam yamusu saviv Yerushalayim. Most of the people, the sinners of the previous pasuk, will die around the area of the Middle East, around Yerushalayim. But uplate mehem ashalech lenafsha. There will be a few survivors. Loleches elakum hayoshim b'tarshish moishrei keshes hamelumadim liros chitzim b'keshes lefish aderech limshach yeser hakeshes lemoitchay lechein amar moish. Those who pull the bow to shoot an arrow. Hoyim harchokim el hayoshim ba'im harchokim. They will go and they will reveal the honor of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chaf. Ve'yaviu es kol achichem. Now, what's going to happen at this point in time? Now, this is very interesting. Ve'yaviu es kol achichem mikol hagoyim min chol Hashem. They will bring, at this point in time, after the idolaters have been destroyed through Milchemet Skoig u'Magoig, and the survivors will travel to the far corners of the earth and reveal the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a massive manhunt will go underway, will take place, where they will search for Jews. They will search who is a Jew. Mi Yehudi. And whoever is a Jew will be put on a plane and sent to Eretz Yisrael as a gift to Eretz Yisrael. What is the ultimate gift? Now, I'm really telling you more of a medrash. What is the ultimate gift you can give a person? Give them money, give them honor. The ultimate gift you can give a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a neshama, is returning a lost Jewish soul. The guy will want to give gifts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give gifts to Yerushalayim. The ultimate gift they can give is, we found in our country a person. He appears to be, he was a little bit different. He has strange customs. He himself didn't know that he's Jewish. But we have all the records, we have all the secrets, we have technology, we have a metal, whatever we can do. And through our sources, we have discovered that this person is really Jewish. He doesn't even know it. And if he's a Jew, we are going to return him to you, to Yerushalayim, as a gift. That's where they view as kol achichem mikol hagoyim. The goyim will bring all of the Jewish survivors, all of the Jewish people throughout the world, the mincha, as a gift to Hashem, as a gift to Hashem, and they will be brought in honor, in dignity, basusim, horses, uvarechav and chariots, uvatzabim. Tzabim are agolos, eglois, tsof. We have this by the Nesim. Eglois, tsof. It refers to covered wagons, okay, covered wagons, uva peradim, mules, uva kirkoros. Kirkoros are with dancing, okay, this is as birukudim. Shall simcha, they will be returned to Eretz Yisrael accompanied by people dancing. Al har kodshi Yerushalayim, Amar Hashem, kasher yaviu v'nei Yisrael samincha b'chlitar. Just like the way they will be brought back will be equivalent, the way the Jewish people, kasher yaviu v'nei Yisrael samincha b'chlitar, beis Hashem, just like the Jewish people when they would bring bikurim. Just like when the Jewish people, they would bring gifts to Kadosh Baruch Hu, when you come and you bring bikurim. So what do? You bring the bikurim in baskets, and if you're wealthy, you bring them baskets of gold. And when they would bring it accompanied with simcha b'mecholos and dancing, and people would stand up because you give cover to people that do a mitzvah. The same way the Jewish people in time immemorial throughout the ages, when it was a Beis HaMikdash, would bring bikurim to Kadosh Baruch Hu with singing and dancing and with great joy and great honor. Jewish souls will be restored to Eretz Yisrael with great joy and simcha. And who will be the one that will be bringing the bikurim? The goyim. The goyim will... You're a Jew. You don't belong here in America. You belong in Eretz Yisrael. Let's bring you. We'll take you. We'll take you and your family and all your possessions. Like people who work, I know someone who worked for Citibank. They opened up a branch in Eretz Yisrael, another branch in Eretz Yisrael, and they needed someone too. They needed someone to run the branch in Eretz Yisrael, and they had a very high ranking employee here in America, and he's a Shomer Shabbos Orthodox Jew. So perfect, he knows the culture. He anyway goes there every once a year, twice a year, to visit his daughter in seminary. So he is the perfect person to run our branch in Eretz Yisrael. They picked him up and they provided everything for him. Hoin Raf, they provided money to transfer, to move all of his property to Eretz Yisrael, to set up his children, all the schools, to do everything, because they desperately wanted to open up this branch and they needed the right person. He was the right person. And whatever you need to settle down happily in Eretz Yisrael is on us. That's what's going to be Liyat Silavo, not open for their own interests, but nothing more than to give a Kadosh Baruch Hu a mincha, a gift, just like when Klai Yisrael would bring Bikurim and different gifts to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Beis Hashem. There is a Medrash. The Medrash says, Basusim uvarechev, Basusim uvarechev atzabim uprenu uvarkir karos, Omar Rabbi Berechia, Habachurim arkivim ala susim, Hatalmidim she'imrim koyach berechev, Hanoshim hayaladim atzabim v'agolos. So the reason why there are different, okay, it's a small Medrash, the reason why there are different types of transportation for different types of people. Who will be riding on the horses? The young men, the bachurim. Who will be riding on the chariots? The talmidei chachamim. Who will be riding on the egloys tzav? Tznius. Right, separate seating, segregation on the buses. Who will be riding on the egloys tzav? The noshim. Okay, Hanoshim Hayaladim Batzab Bagolos, and the Zekhu will be riding on the mules, the Zekanim, because the mules go very slowly and carefully. The Zekanim, you don't have too many bumps, and you travel high speeds and their bumps, the Zekanim get very disturbed. So the Zekanim will be traveling on the mules, which travel Bimenucha. So that is why we have over here so many different forms of transportation. There are buses, and there are trains, and there are planes, there are limousines. Everyone will travel according to their liking. It's a very interesting medrash. Okay, and let me just let's go further. Now here, so this is very interesting, which has to be through technology. There's a lot of this discussion today that they through DNA they try to figure out who is a Kohen, who is a Levi. They even have, I read this either in the Ami magazine or Mishpacha magazine not long ago, where they have technology where they can trace where you live, what kind of Jew. Are you a Sephardic Jew or Ashkenazi Jew? And they've shown different types of Jews that lived in Spain, which were thought to be part of the same group, were really very different. They've made discoveries, because there was a lot of, due to the expulsions and due to all different population shifts, there were certain assumptions that were held that these two different types of Sephardic Jews came from the same place. And these two type of Jews, this Ashkenazi Jew that lives in Turkey and this one that lives over here, were completely different. They've shown through DNA that these groups really completely two separate groups, whereas the other two groups really were once one large family and somehow got separated. So there's a lot of advance in technology today where they can trace lineage through a blood test. And here is something, this is something which, and then they try to do this with Kohanim. Today there is no definite yichus, me, who is a Kohen. The reason why we do not do the Pidyon HaBen is complicated today. We don't have Truman Maisa Bizman Hazeh. It's not so simple even to build a base Hamidush Bizman Hazeh, because we do not have Bizman Hazeh Kohanim Meyuchasim. But there's a lot of talk that through technology and DNA, we can trace who is a Kohen, who is a real Levi, who is a Yisrael. And that's what it says here, the Gamehem. Here, let's look what's happening over here. There are Jews that are found in the far corners of the earth. And at this point in time, let's review the whole sequence. There's going to be a group of people, a group of Goyim, which worship Avodah Zarah. And according to the Bein Bachya, refers to the HaMekadashim, the Amitarim, are the Christians and the Muslims. And they're going to be destroyed. Yacht of Yasufu. There are going to be a few lone survivors. These lone survivors are going to travel to the far corners of the earth. They're going to reveal to the world what has happened. And then there's going to be a massive manhunt to find long lost Jews. The people that they find don't even know they're Jewish. But the Goyim are going to discover through records that these are Jews. They're going to pick them up and present them as gifts in Eretz Yisrael. And then guess what? The Kohen will say, guess what? You're a Kohen. You don't even know it. Not only are you a Jew, you don't even realize that you're a Kohen or you're a Levi. If you're a Kohen, you can do the Avoda. Unbelievable. Here we have a guy, a Haredi, who's living in Yerushalayim for the last 100 years, the only Yisrael, they can't do the Avoda. But you, who have been found all the way in the middle of the Amazon, in Africa somewhere, you're a Kohen. You can do the Avoda. How could that possibly be? Where is the Yichus? Where is the Mesorah? The Pasuk says, guess what? The Gam Mehem, from these long lost Jews, I will take Ekach La Kohanim, for Kohanim, La Leviim, Omar Hashem. How could that possibly be? So look in Rashi, Chof Aleph, V'gam Mehem, Ekach La Kohanim, La Leviim, Min Ho Amim, I will take from these long lost Jews that have been presented by the nations of the world, people that never even knew they were Jewish. Hamivim or son that will bring them, umin hamuvoim, and those that come on their own, ekach koihanim ulevim. Why? Because ulefonai, before I, Hashem says, before me, giluyim hakoihanim v'halevim shebohem. You do not know who is a Kohen, but Hashem says, I know who are the Kohanim. Ve'evor oysa mitoicham, I will miraculously reveal who is the Kohen and the Levi. V'yiyu mishamshim lefonai, and they will serve before me, Omar Hashem. V'heichon Omar, where do we have a source for this concept in the Torah? This week's parsha, heichon Omar, hanistarois la Hashem Elokeinu. The secrets are revealed before Hashem Elokeinu, kach mufurish be'agodas tehillah. Amazing pasuk that ties into an amazing Rashi. You have the pasuk, V'gamihem ekach lakohenim alavim amar Hashem. Rashi interprets this referring to the long lost Jews that are going to be presented by the Umos Ha'olam after the Churban of Melchem Yisrael Gomagog. Hashem will say, this one is a Kohen, this one is a Levi, because Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu. Okay, next, Ki kasher Hashma Nachadash, let's just finish up. Let's see, we're almost out of time. Maybe we'll leave this for tomorrow, because it's already 41 minutes. Okay, so we'll stop over here, we'll leave the rest for tomorrow. So tomorrow
they say Kohen Yichus.
Yeah.
They say, what is it? They just have it in Messiah?
Rappaport, right? There's a Rappaport family. I guess they have it in Messiah. Yeah. Today it's not. Today, there are, I mentioned, studies where they believe they're close to finding a pattern, a DNA pattern.
It's on a Y chromosome. That's why it goes after
the father. So they do. There is much discussion that it's a questionable halacha, but it's getting more and more advanced as time goes on. Through a pattern, DNA pattern, you can trace a person's lineage. I mean, eventually they probably will get so. They're hoping it can get so advanced. You can create a database where you can take a blood sample from someone or whatever, a DNA sample, and then you can tell them, you know who you are? This is you, this is your father, your grandfather, we can trace you all the way back, as far back as we can go. Okay. I don't know all of them, but there is some type of research.
Does this assume that there's some kind of Kohen gene that's transmitted only by...
That's the question.
Because if it's only...
That's the question.
Because if it's not necessarily by the father, then...
No, but a Kohanim only goes through the father.
I know, but genetically...
Yeah, so there's something called the maternal chromosomes on the mitochondria that's only for the women. So I don't know if they've been figured out which ones belong to Jews, but theoretically you could also check who the mother was.
Because if it were passed down through the mother, then halakhically...
Right, so I'm saying that there's mitochondrial chromosomes that are distinct just for the mother, and they theoretically track down that.
But in this Rashi's telling us we're not going to work with that. And this is an idea which you hear in the news over and over. Rashi is not working. Rashi is saying it's going to be nothing more than a revelation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that only Hashem knows. Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu.